All right, let's get to hear the word. Let's pray for the word. Father, we thank you this morning for your faithfulness. We thank you for your presence today. We open our hearts to the preaching of the word. Speak to us and reveal to us what is on your heart. Thank you, Spirit of the living God, for wisdom and for revelation and for understanding. We are so grateful that we can sit under the ministry of the word this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Last week, I started on the topic, making sense of afflictions. Who was blessed last week with that message? I thank God that he spoke to a number of us. And this morning, I'm hoping to just finish up and to conclude on that subject matter, making sense of afflictions. Now, in trying to make sense of the afflictions and pain we sometimes go through, you need to have a biblical understanding of why God allows or why God permits afflictions to come our way. You and I need to have a biblical understanding of why God allows certain things to happen into our lives. Two people can go through exactly the same situation, but they will have a different outcome. In the same way that, yeah, we have a number of us who are listening to the word, but this word will have different output, will have different works in our lives because of the way that we receive the word. You can receive a powerful word, but that word might not change you because of the way you respond to the word. Amen. In the same way, we can have two people experiencing huge adversities in their lives, but they all come out differently. One becomes even stronger in their lives, and now the one gets destroyed. The question is why and how does that happen? So this morning, I want us to explore the phenomenon of afflictions in the life of a believer. How should we respond to afflictions when affliction comes our way? The first thing that we need to understand on our journey as Christians, on our journey on this earth, is that God works all things according to his will. I alluded to that last week, and it's so important that I repeat this. That whatever God does, he does it according to his will, not according to my will. Hello? We have sometimes misunderstood the whole notion of, well, we have our will and God will not violate our will. Yes, that could be true. But I need you to understand this morning that God is sovereign and there are times where God will do certain things even if you don't allow him to. Because the moment God cannot do certain things because you don't allow him, then he ceases from being God. But because of who he is, that he has given you a willpower, and there are times where he allows you to exercise your will. Now, God works all things according to his will. I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, where the Bible says, this was Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says here, in him we have obtained an inheritance. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. According to the counsel of his will. I want you to know this morning that there are things that will happen to our lives because they are according to the counsel of his will. Because God has determined for certain things to happen in a certain way, they will become so. Sometimes you might have questioned yourself or questioned God, why was I even born in this country? Why was I not born in Australia? Why was I not born in this family? But hey, I want you to know, God does everything according to the counsel of his will. If we can have that settled in our hearts, it will change the way we look at affliction sometimes. The Lord will allow certain things to come our way. When we talk about the Lord Jesus, it does not make sense to see the amount of pain that Jesus had to go through. And we should ask, what kind of a God would allow his own son to suffer the way that Jesus suffered?
At that time, Jesus suffered the worst of death. It was the most difficult death that anyone would go through. Yet the loving Father allowed his own son to go through that situation. Look at Isaiah 53 verse 10. I'm saying today, God works all things according to his will. And the suffering of Jesus Christ was according to his will. And here the Bible says through the prophet Isaiah, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him. It was the Lord's good plan to crush him, to crush the Lord Jesus. The Father planned it. He orchestrated it and he handed Jesus into the hands of the enemy. It was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Have you suffered grief in your life? Can we say that sometimes the Lord will allow grief to come our way? If he allowed grief to go the way of his son, surely at some point grief might visit one of us here. Grief might visit me. And here the Bible says the Lord's good plan was to crush him and to cause him grief. Yet, when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. What was the objective? What was the point of the Lord Jesus going through the crushing that he did? It was for many descendants to come back to the Father. And the only way for us to go back to the Father was through the crushing of his son. Maybe for you, the only way for you to experience and to see the value of life is to go through a moment of grieving. Now, he will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. And this morning, allow me to say, the Lord's good plan will prosper in your hands. And the Lord's good plan is not always comfortable in our lives. But the Bible says the Lord's good plan will prosper in your hands. And today you and I need to come to a place where we say, Father, if this is what you've allotted for me in this season, so be it. Let your plans prosper. You see, we have been taught a very cheap gospel. The gospel that says the moment you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, everything is hanky-dory. Everything will go well. Your plans will play out. You see, when we plan our lives, it's a straight line. But in reality, you go through valleys and peaks. You go through rivers. You go through snows. You go through storms until you get to the end. You will still get to the end, but it's not a straight line. Hello? It's not a straight line. And the Bible says here, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. Verse 11, when he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. When he sees all that will be accomplished by his pain, when he sees all that will be accomplished by your pain, then he'll be satisfied. That is the true gospel. And he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear all their sins. For he will bear all their sins. You see, that the time that Jesus was on the cross, he was carrying your sins and my sins. And in that moment, the Father could not behold the sin that was on the Lord Jesus. And that is why he turned his back from his own. And the Lord Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? The Lord Jesus was bearing the sins of humanity. He was carrying the pain of humanity. It wasn't so much the blood that was coming out of the Lord Jesus. No, it was the picture of sin that was on the Lord Jesus. It was a picture of sin that was on the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says here, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. When the Lord looks at you, he says, and my righteous servant will make it possible for the people around here to see my glory. Hello? My righteous servant will make it possible for certain things to happen. Let's go to Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood. May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. This morning I bless you with the equipment that comes from God for you to be able to do the will of the Father. Glory be to God. He says here, may he equip you, may he enable you, may he give you capacity to do all that he pleases. Glory be to God. You need to be equipped. You need to be prepared. That is why we are teaching you these kind of messages, so that when stuff happens, you might be ready. You might be ready. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. He says, yeah, may he produce in you, may God produce in you such an ability to do what is pleasing unto him. When that thing happens to you, my prayer for you is that God might equip you. The Lord might strengthen you. The Lord would enable you to look at what is happening in front of you and you say, for your glory, I will cross the hot deserts. For your glory, I'll climb the mountains. For your glory, I'll let go of that pleasure. Amen. I'm talking about God works all things according to his will. Number two, for you to understand affliction when it comes your way, you need to realize that everything that God does, he does it for his glory. Everything that God allows to come our way, he does it so that his name might be glorified. It doesn't sound great when you're going through the fire, but he says, I want that so that my name might be glorified, so that my name might be magnified, so that my name might be exalted among the nations. Glory be to God. You see, God's goal in all he does is to receive praise and for the glory of his name. There's absolutely nothing that God will do that does not bring glory to him. It sounds selfish, but hey, God is glorified already. There's nothing that you can do to make him greater. He is already great. So what we do, whatever happens to us, it is to show forth his glory. It is to show forth his magnificence. Amen. Now, one of the major reasons why you and I were created was to bring glory to him. We are instruments of his glory. So when you go through affliction, and this affliction has been allowed by God, one of the reasons is for him to be glorified through my afflictions, through your pain. God created you as an instrument of his glory. Jeremiah 13, verse 11, the Bible says, for as the waistcloth clings to the loins of a man, so I made the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah cling to me, says the Lord, that there might be for me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory. God created you for his glory. And God wants to receive glory even through the most mundane of situations, even through the most mundane of things in your life. Have you ever thought about it? The Lord wants to be glorified even when you are eating food. When you are eating food, he wants to receive glory. I mean, Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. The Bible says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. When your wife has prepared that meal that you're going to have today, fathers, do that, have that food for the glory of God. Magnify the King of glory in that process. The Bible says in John 2, verse 2, but before I go there, when God allows affliction to come our way, it will be for his glory. When God allows affliction to come our way, it will be for his glory. When you understand that, it changes your response to affliction when affliction comes your way. John 2, verse 9. The Bible says, and his disciples asked him, this is when they came across a blind man. This man was blind. And like all of us, we want to understand the reason why certain things happen. We want to understand why. Why is this person experiencing so many accidents in his life? There must be something wrong that he's doing. There must be a sin that is attached to his life. Why is he having trouble at work all the time? He must have done something wrong. We always want to bring a reason to why we are suffering. We always want to explain our pain. We always want to bring an understanding to why certain things happen in our lives. And then the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? Who sinned, this man or his parents?" I don't know what trouble you're going through right now. And you might be asking yourself, "Lord, what sin have I committed that warrants this type of situation in my life? Lord, show me if there's anything wrong that I have done." Haven't you been there before? Where you start looking at your life, you start opening cupboards and like, "Lord, show me. I want to repent of that sin." You can't see it. You can't find it. And this man, I believe he might have been asking, "Lord, why was I born blind?" Remember, back then in this community, blindness was almost a sign of being cursed. It was a sign that this person had committed sin. That is why they were questioning, "Lord, Rabbi, is it this man who sinned, or it was his parents who sinned that caused him to be blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned." And this morning, maybe your situation has nothing to do with what you have done. It has nothing to do with your lineage. It has nothing to do with the family you were born in. It has nothing to do with the decision that you made at the beginning of the year. Jesus said to them, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him. It is for the name of my Father, it is for the glory of my Son, my Father, that this man is blind. So that when the time of healing comes, everybody will be able to see that, wow, look at the power of God. He healed this blind man." Your suffering could be for God to be glorified by your neighbors. When they look at what you've gone through, you're still waking up on a Sunday morning going to church. This morning, I want you to understand that it is for the glory of God. So his blindness happened in the ordinary course of divine providence for the healing power of God to be seen. Now, I want you to realize this morning that there are no testimonies in the absence of tests being passed along the way. We say, "Guys, let's make some testimonies. Let's tell what God has done in our lives." For every testimony, there would be a test that one had to pass. For us to glorify the name of the Lord, sometimes he would have taken us out of the fire. If you are to have a testimony in your life, there should have been a test somewhere. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. I'm talking about whatever God does, it is for his glory. The background of this story here is when Paul the apostle was taken up by God into the third heaven. And the Bible says he was shown such a great, great revelation. And whatever he saw, Paul says he was not allowed to speak it out to man. He was not allowed to share it with man. And man, I would imagine if any of us would experience that kind of revelation, something would start whirling up in our hearts. A level of pride can start rising up. Or maybe God has used you in a mighty way to bring healing, to bring deliverance. You start thinking you're the big shot. You start thinking, "Well, it is because I know how to do this thing." Now, verse 7, the Bible says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me.'" It sounds great when we read it. Paul does not explain to us what type of a thorn it was. He simply says, a messenger of Satan. A messenger of Satan appeared before me. He knocked on my door and he had a gift wrapped up and he handed to me this thorn. Hello? And he looked at it and he says, a gift was given to me. He said, because of the revelation, the Father came and he says, for me, for you not to go into that road of pride, of glorifying self, I'm going to give you a gift. That gift was a thorn. I don't know if you have been pricked by a thorn. It is painful, irritating, makes you uncomfortable. You almost lose temper because of the thorn. But today I want you to know that for Paul, he did not fight against that thorn. The moment he understood that it was there as an instrument for him to walk in weakness, for the strength of Jesus to be revealed in his life. Paul was going to be arrogant. Historian says Paul was prone to pride. Paul was eloquent. Paul was well educated. And God looked at the character of Paul and says, if I don't do something, this man will start taking all the glory. This man will start glorifying himself because everything that God does is for his glory. Amen. So he allowed Paul to experience a thorn in his flesh. Maybe it is time for you to say, I know this is a thorn that God has given me. But the distinction here is this. Paul understood. The Father spoke to him. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. And Paul stood back and says, if it is for that reason, I would rather walk in my weakness so that the strength of Christ can be revealed in my life. I'm not even advocating for you to quickly give up. But if the Lord reveals it to you that this is a thorn that is going to allow you to be humble, you better accept it and walk in it. You see, the Lord will not allow you to go through certain things without making provision of grace. With every test that you go through, the Father will provide you enough grace to go through it. Glory be to God. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. That is why you look at certain people, they keep on running, they keep on believing God, they keep on trusting God, irregardless of what they're going through. And you say, if it was me, I don't think I'll be able to survive that. That is why it's not you. You see, what I find very interesting here, the Bible says, there was given to me. The Father permitted Satan to buffet Paul. The Father allowed the enemy as an instrument to bring humility in the life of Paul. What is it in your life right now that the Lord is using to bring humility in your life? That the Lord is using to restrain you from losing your mind? Whatever it is. So we are saying whatever God does in our lives, it is to bring glory to his name. It is to magnify his name. It is so that people around you can praise and glorify the Son of the living God. Number three, when it comes to affliction, you need to understand that everything that God does is for your good. Hello? Everything that God does is for your good. Everything that God throws at us is for our growth and maturity in our walk with him. Whatever God has allowed to come your way, it is to mature you. It is to grow you. It is to strengthen your walk with him. It is for you to get closer and closer to the Lord God Almighty. Amen. And we need to realize that if God has allowed it, it is for my good. It is for my good. Yes, I'm going to quote Romans 8:28. And everybody quotes this scripture. Where we say, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Whatever you're going through, remember, God is still in control. God is still sovereign. God will have the final say. It doesn't matter even when it looks like the enemy seems to be having the upper hand. The Lord will have the final say. And we know that all things work together for good. For a moment, I want you to consider what you're going through right now. Paul says, in all things, he works all things, not some things. Every single thing that you're experiencing, the Lord will work it out for your good. Hallelujah. When the enemy is doing what he's doing, he doesn't think it will end good. But when God takes over, when God takes control, he will work it out for your good. Hallelujah. Right now, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't sound like it. It doesn't look like it. But Paul says there, all things work together for good. He qualifies it. All things work together for good for those who love God. Whatever you go through, don't lose your love for God, because that is where your victory comes from. It is where the victory is for those who love God. Whatever you're going through, don't run away from your purpose and your destiny. The Bible says to those who are called according to his purpose, stick around your purpose. Stick around your destiny, because the Lord will work it out for your good. Hallelujah. For those who love God, do you love God today? If you love God, the end is going to be good. Do you stick around your destiny? Hallelujah. The end is going to be good. Now, there is a context to that scripture that says all things work together for our good. What is the context? You see, for the things to work out for our good, there is a reaction, there is a response that is required from you and I. The context is verse 26. It says here, likewise, the context is prayer. If you are going through turmoil right now, you've got to stick to your knees. Hallelujah. Somebody says, when you are always on your knees before God, you will stand before man. Now, verse 26 provides the context for you and I. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When you go through your pain, when you go through your affliction, don't run away from your closet, your place of prayer, because it is people who pray that will experience all things working together for their good. You see, God might have an intention to turn around the bad for your good, but if you don't pray heaven down, nothing good will happen to you. We end up blaming God. But your word says all things work together for my good. God says, have you called upon my name? Have you sought my face in your time of affliction? Have you called on me when you were in need? Yes, I wanted to work it out for your good, but you did not invite heaven. You did not say, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is no suffering in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. And Jesus taught them, when you pray, pray down the kingdom of God. This morning, I want you to realize that when you pray, it unlocks all things working together for you. It will unlock the intention of heaven. It will unlock the hand of God to reach out and touch you. Look at Genesis 50, verse 20. The story of Joseph. Joseph went through some difficult patches in his life. Joseph had a promise. Joseph had a dream. And in that dream, he was rising up above everybody else. He was rising up above his parents, above his brothers. But after the dream, instead of going towards the dream, his life looked like it was going away from the dream. Some of you right now, you feel like your life is gravitating far away from the ideal, far away from what you saw yourself becoming 5 years ago. At the end of it all, Joseph found himself as the next in command in Egypt. And there he was standing before his brothers. You know the story, when the brothers came to Egypt looking for food. And Joseph was the governor looking after everything in that country. And now in verse 20, this is what he says to his brothers. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good. When you go through your pain, you don't know why God has allowed you to come your way. That is why you need to pray for the will of God to be fulfilled in your situation, where you look at the word of God and you say, Father, this is contrary to the word. I want you to know when you do that, all things will work out together for your good. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. I have seen people who walk straight into their destiny at a higher dimension, having gone through affliction, having experienced a death in their lives, having experienced a near-death experience in their lives. And the moment they came out of it, they said, I'm going to live my life as if today is the last day that I have to live. And they start pursuing their destiny in God. I want you to know prayer is key for you to see all things work together for your good. It's not just by automatic, because the enemy, Diabolos, wants to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But on the other hand, Jesus wants you to have life and life in its abundance. What do we do to connect to that life in abundance? It is prayer. In the book of the Acts of the Apostles, when Peter was incarcerated after preaching the gospel, the Bible talks about in that time where the apostles were being persecuted in Jerusalem. James, the brother of John, had been killed by the leaders. And now they thought, let us go on and take Peter as well so that we can kill him. You see, the enemy wanted to take Peter out. And I want you to know the intention of the enemy is to take you out. But that's not the plan of God. But if you don't partner with heaven, the enemy will take you out. People experience premature death because they haven't engaged heaven. And this morning, I want you to see what the church did. In Acts 12, verse 5, the church was not oblivious to what was happening. They knew that there was a war taking place. The Bible says here, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was made for him. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. We lose certain things because we are not constant in prayer. We pray once a week. We pray when it suits us. We pray when we are excited. But constant prayer was offered to God by the church for him. They were praying. They were saying, we have seen what they did to James. We refuse that the same fate would happen to Peter. They interceded. They prayed heaven down. And look at what happens in verse 7. Heaven responded. Peter, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. What initiated angelic activities? It wasn't them crying. It was them praying. It was them calling upon heaven. So this morning, don't be that kind of a Christian who says whatever happens, happens. No, we need to put pressure on the word. We need to stand on the promises of God, because his promises are yes and amen. Lest you miss the point, my message is not for you to sit back and fold your hands and say, well, it is the will of God for me to die in this sickness. No. The Bible teaches me otherwise. Let's go to Isaiah 38, verse 1. I want to teach you this morning that you can touch heaven through your prayers and your situation will change. The Bible says in Isaiah 38, verse 1, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. In those days, Hezekiah was hit by I don't know what type of sickness. And he was about to die. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, this is what the Lord says. Set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. I don't know if it was you. If you had taken it like that and said, well, the Lord has spoken and therefore that's it. I don't know if I would have done what Hezekiah did. But verse 2 says, then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall. Hezekiah prayed to the same God who had released a word through Isaiah, saying, God, tell that man, you're going to die. But Hezekiah stood up and he faced the wall and he prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go and tell Hezekiah. Go and tell Hezekiah, that says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. I'm talking about the power of prayer in your time of affliction. I'm talking about having this holy, this anger inside of you that is stubborn, that says, no, this is what the word of God says about my situation. What does God say about your situation right now? Hezekiah could have just thrown hands in the air, but the Bible says he faced the wall and he wept bitterly. And in that moment, the good that God had in store for him was fulfilled. The Bible says, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, thoughts of good and not of bad, to give you a hope and a future. It is for us to tap into heaven for those thoughts to become a reality in our lives. Hezekiah received an answer from God. There's a place where the Bible says, come, let us reason together. Bring forth your reason that I might justify you. Bring forth the word of God that he might justify you. Because he has raised his word far above his own name, far above himself. May the Lord help us this morning to know when to push further in the spirit. Number four, you need to understand that afflictions are an instrument in God's hand. Afflictions are an instrument in God's hand. You see, God uses affliction as a way of dealing with man. We need the dealings of God in order to attain perfection. God uses affliction to draw our attention. When you look at Hebrews 5 verse 8, the Bible says, though he was a son, talking about the Lord Jesus, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Isn't that profound? Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Though you are a child of God, there are certain qualities and traits that can only come when pressure is applied on you. Glory be to God. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Talking about the Lord Jesus. Through the sufferings that he went through, he learned obedience. Remember that the Lord Jesus, though he was God, yet when he was on earth, he was fully man who relied totally on the Holy Spirit. He was fully man and fully God, but here on earth, he was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit, so that you and I can also depend on the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, through suffering, through pains, he learned obedience. For some of us, it will be through suffering that we will learn to wait on God. That we'll learn to stand on the promises of God. So, how does God use affliction as an instrument in his hands? Let's look at a number of issues. Number one, affliction can bring about purification. Affliction brings about our purification. For you to be purified, sometimes you need affliction. You need to go through a moment of not having enough in your life. You see, a lot of us here, we think we really trust in God because there is money that comes at the end of every month. We think we trust God for financial provision because we know on the 25th of the month, money is going to come. You see, if you get to live your life trusting in your finances, God will close certain taps in order to ensure that you trust him. Hello? That is why sometimes it is important for you to start tithing. Because when you tithe, you are removing 10% of your income and you say, Lord, I will live on the 90%. I trust you that the 90% will cover 100% of my needs. That is why some of you need to start tithing. Because you have not trusted God financially. You have trusted your company and your boss because they pay you or at the end of every month. They've never failed you. They've never failed you. The moment you start tithing, you will realize that you need to trust God more financially. That's a challenge for somebody this morning. Now, it is in the moment of afflictions that our character is refined. It is a moment of pain that our character is refined. It is when you realize that you are an impatient person, when you are waiting for somebody to come and they are not coming on time. And then all of a sudden you realize you are impatient. You are impatient. Then it is a highlight where God is saying, I want you to deal with this issue in your life. It is until somebody, your very close friend, has betrayed you that you realize actually you can't forgive that easily. All of a sudden you start crying out to the Lord to help you, to enable you to forgive the unforgivable. In the absence of betrayal, you would not have realized that you cannot forgive easily. In the absence of betrayal, you will not realize that there's bitterness in your heart. When we go through afflictions, it just rises up certain things within us, the flesh that has been dormant, that has been stopping us from going forward in our walk with God, all of a sudden becomes alive. When you go through affliction, you are being purified. Isaiah 1:25, the Bible says, I will turn my hand against you. I will thoroughly purge away your dross and remove all your impurities. I will allow you to go through tests so that you can be tested, so that you can be purified. Glory be to God. Psalm 66 verse 10. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. When you look at the goldsmith, the people who work with steel, with gold, they put it through fire until all the impurities fall off, until he sees himself in the silver. In the same way, the Lord will allow you and I to go through the fiery furnace in order to remove the impurities until his image is clearly revealed in us. Until we reflect the image of God. That happens when all the impurities are removed. Number two, affliction make room for greater fruitfulness. Affliction make room for greater fruitfulness. For you to be fruitful, there has to be a pruning away of those useless entities in your life, of those things that stop you from bearing much more fruit. I don't know if you have seen a rose bush being trimmed. It is trimmed right to the core, to the bone. And you're thinking, you're destroying this plant. I'm sure Mesu will be able to tell you about plants. But if you are to prune a rose bush, you trim it to as far as you can. And you wait for it. When it starts producing those new branches and the flowers that will come out of it. But it was after a suffering moment of being pruned. What pruning are you going through right now? What is being cut away right now? Glory be to God. You see, God uses affliction and pain to take away all unproductive areas of our lives. The Lord would want to cut away certain relationships that are not good for you. The Lord would want to remove certain situations in your life that are not good for you. I don't know why your TV is no longer working. It might be that television has been keeping you away from praying. Yeah, funny stuff happens. But it's all for his glory. Hallelujah. I'm talking about being pruned. John 15 verse 1 to 2. The Bible says, I am the true vine and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Hallelujah. God wants you to move from just bearing fruit to bearing much fruit. and fruit that remains. Number three, affliction molds us into a useful vessel. Affliction will make you more obedient. Affliction will make you more flexible. Affliction will allow you to become useful in the hands of God. He's able to tell you when to wake up. He's able to tell you when to keep quiet. Yes? Affliction will bring you to that place. His intention is to create a vessel useful and fit for purpose. That's the intention of God when he allows affliction to come our way. Jeremiah 18 verse 1, the Bible says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. Making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the hands of the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. As the clay is in the hands of the potter, so are you in my hands, says the Lord. You see, the clay also goes through a process before it could be used as a vessel of honor. This process involves being bitter, being sifted, being spun around, being thrown into pressure and into fire until the vessel comes up into a beautiful vase that we all look at and say, wow, look at this. But in the absence of the process that the clay had to go through, that the clay had to endure, you would not have seen a vase that looks so beautiful and awesome. Before you are done, you will not come out of the hands of the potter. I see a lot of people running away from the hands of the potter, and they walk around as unfinished products, not fit for purpose. We run around as unfinished products. We run too quick into ministry before it was our time. And there we are running ministries and things fall apart. It was not yet time. But God had spoken. He had not released you yet. I'm talking about affliction. Number four, affliction reveals our frailty and our total dependence on God. It is in the moment of affliction that you realize how frail you are, how life is so small in comparison to the magnitude of God. You realize that you need God. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, pain insists upon being attended to. Pain insists upon being attended to. Wherever there is pain, the whole body goes on to it. If you kick your foot against the rock, you come down. Everything is paying attention to it. Pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So it is when we are in pain that all of a sudden we remember there's something called church. It is when we are in pain and we are lying on our bed that we say, please call the priest. It is in that moment of suffering that we realize that we need the mighty God to come through for us. And in the absence of pain, we will run our lives as if there's no God. And the Lord will allow some pain from time to time to remind us that we need him. People of God, we need God whether there's pain or whether there's no pain. Hosea 5:15 says, I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. In your pain, you will call upon the name of Jesus. In your time of need, you will know how to fast. Many people tell you, I cannot fast. But when pain has visited you, you will look for all answers wherever you can find them. Psalms 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep to your word because affliction has come. Now I know that I'm just a human being. Now I know that my life is so short. I almost lost my life there. There are certain things that you can never explain when they happen to you. But it is for you to know that there's a greater God. In conclusion, how should we respond to affliction? Four issues, four ways of responding to affliction. Number one, we are to endure. We are to remain steady. It means we must stay under the moment. You do not run away and you let patience have its perfect work in your life. I always tell people when they go through afflictions, I say to them, what are your options? What is your option right now? And it looks like your only option is to wait on God. Glory be to God. Yeah, when you go through affliction, it is for you to endure it. It is for you to go through it. You'll find that in 2 Timothy 4 verse 5. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Are you ready to endure when affliction come your way? Number two, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Look at all the things that affliction can bring about in our lives. Look at what God can do through affliction. James 1:2, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Number three, remain faithful. It is those who remain faithful until the end that will be able to get that crown when they enter heaven. Hallelujah. You see, the intention of the enemy is for you to miss heaven. The intention of the enemy is for you to go into apostasy, where you deny the very Christ who saved you, where you say this thing of gospel doesn't work. But I want you to know, if you endure until the end, you shall get a crown when your Father says, well done, good and faithful servant. That is the key today, to remain faithful. Do not curse God in your moment of affliction. Be like Job, who even when he was advised by the closest person to him, who was his wife, she said to him, curse your God and die. It is in your moment of turning away from God that you will die. But as long as you remain faithful to the one who called you, you will not die. You'll be like David, who says, I shall not die. I will live and declare the works of the Lord. His wife said to him, curse God and die. And he said, no, you are a foolish woman. I will not curse my God. And the last point, number four, in your affliction, praise and pray to God through your afflictions. Praise him through your afflictions. Praise him through your suffering. And you will see his goodness being revealed. Rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Powerful statement. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in everything, not for everything. The Bible says, in everything, in every situation that you find yourself in, give thanks to God. And you tell him, Lord, receive all the glory in what I'm going through. Receive all the honor in what I'm going through. Give me the strength to stand and to see victory in the day of the Lord. I don't know what has been your situation. I want us to stand up on our feet this morning. Next week, I'm going to teach on one of the powerful keys of withstanding affliction. One of the powerful keys of withstanding affliction next week. So this morning, we have shared a number of things. We have said one of the things that we have mentioned is that whatever God does, it is for his glory. When I was preparing this message, I went on to read the song or the words, the lyrics by Tasha Cobbs, where she says, for your glory, I will cross the hottest deserts. For your glory, Lord, I will climb the mountains just to behold your face. Just for your honor. I want you to go and listen to that song this afternoon. And let that song minister to you in your situation. I know a lot of us right here are going through turmoils. But I want you to say, Lord, for your glory, I will endure. For your glory, I'll go through what I'm going through. Give me the strength to stand and be like Hezekiah who stood his ground and says, I will not receive a bad report, for I know that he is faithful. Hallelujah. I want us to pray right now and make a commitment and say, Lord, for your glory, do what you want to do in my life. I allow you, oh God, to walk in my life for your glory, for your purposes, oh God. Shall we pray to the Lord this morning?